Welcome to A Course in Miracles. You're all being reborn. By doing any spiritual journey, any path where you choose to look at your own identity and not know what it is. Be open to having a truer identity than what you see in the mirror. This is absolutely to be reborn. Make no mistake about it. Of Course in Miracles is a pretty radical path to awakening. Because in very plain language, and many, many times, it says, basically, the cost of this course is everything you now know. Now, if you recognize that what it's talking about is everything you now know, comma, that hurts. Everything you now know that says fear is justified. That's the cost of A Course in Miracles. Is you be willing to let go of your thoughts that make your fear justified? That's the cost of A Course in Miracles. If you love your fear, if you think your fear keeps you safe and you want to keep doing that, and there's no other way to be safe than to be afraid, it's truly not time for you. This is not for you. There's some other path for you. But if you're tired of finding out that what you were afraid of never happened, if you're tired of finding out that what you were afraid of you invented, if you're tired of finding out what you were afraid of was scary enough, but man, did you make it worse. If you're done with that, you're in the right place. But, I should say, and, when your awakening comes, you will be reborn. You know that the old you doesn't work anymore. And when you try it, it just sucks. You're done with that. Even though the habit remains. The habit to be the old you. Especially go back family on Thanksgiving or whatever. You go back and visit on the holidays and you're around your childhood friends. The world tries to pull you back in. Or when some terrible thing happens in your life and you just handle it like your parents would handle it and you don't like the way your parents handle things. Those kind of habits have to die out of your life. You just let them go. But that's why I say you're reborn. You're reborn. This book gives you a whole other path to trust. Starting with the first time you try it. Puts a confidence in your heart that maybe you've never had your entire life. That's my experience. Anybody else had a confidence born in them from doing their workbook lessons?
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? So many of those lessons are so powerful. Yeah.
Hello.
Welcome.
A lot of people tonight.
Pull up a pillow.
Come on in, honey.
So tonight, as we study, we'll take a moment of silence. We'll kind of speed up our meditation because I came so late. We have so much progress to make tonight, tonight's paragraphs. But just think about that a concept. Are you willing to be reborn from fear as a trusted friend?
As a go-to ally.
As a go-to ally. Are you willing to let that go? Are you willing to try another way? You'll still do the same things in life. You'll handle the job, the cancer, the boyfriend, the car crashes. You'll do all the same thing. The family members, the children, the parents dying, the children being born. You do all the same things. But would you rather do it without fear? Let's just ask that question for a moment. Do Do you like the idea of going on with your life? And you will go on with your life, no matter how long or short, of course. But do you like the idea of working it without fear? And keep in mind, of course, it's not the practical fear of whether we should drive on the right side of the road. That's not the fear we're talking about, is it? There's a worse fear than that. There's a psychological fear where you counsel yourself that something can go wrong and hurt you and then get worse. That fear. The worry fear. The ideas that say you, in your heart of hearts, have something to lose. That fear. Would you like to be free of that? Have you thought about that? What has that existential fear ever actually helped you with anything?
My first thought in my head was, I am desperate to leave that fear.
Desperate. Excellent.
I was sitting in my study the other night, thinking about the fact that I just spent 3 hours cleaning my bathroom, and the rest of my house, it's not ever messy, but it was, I know it's dirty, which I hate, and I don't feel like cleaning it like I used to. And I always thought, I love this house, it's the perfect house for me, it's my comfort zone, it's this and it's that. And then I thought about my neighbor, who is still doing his thing, and I don't feel safe in that house anymore. And I thought, my house doesn't do for me what it used to do for me. The only thing that can do for me what it used to do for me is this course.
Now the world will serve you perfectly, and very kindly, and very generously, to help you bring back your certainty. The world's now great for that.
But not the world as I see it now.
Even the world as you see it now.
Well, I mean, it's the way I'm going to learn from it. But
yes.
But it's not going to give me the safety except whatever I learn from, which is, of course, forgiveness and faith. And,
One last use.
And the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit's going to be your guide.
I had a really long conversation with the Holy Spirit that night. Talking about how I was going to have faith in the Holy Spirit.
And it's really binary.
Yeah.
I mean, you see, it's on or it's off. It is or it isn't.
Yeah, well, I now have it on.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's important to see that. Mm-hmm. And of course, miracles with our forgiveness. You can't let anything go that is harming you. If you don't know what it is you're focusing on. That's why those first lessons are very specific. It's not saying, just be at peace. Everything is wonderful everywhere for all time. Go you now in peace and love the Lord. Done! That's not A Course in Miracles, is it? It's very specific because your mind is very specific. You have specific problems with your neighbor and what he does in your house. You have very specific problems. The Course says in those first 10 lessons, 15 if you want to be precise, and it says, you know, we're going to go one item at a time. We will generalize, but when you're ready, the goal is to generalize so that you heal everything, your whole dream. But you're not ready. You're so addicted on that problem in your life or that person who really shouldn't be forgiven. You're so addicted to holding on to that. It's specific. That's where we should work then. Not with these grand, everything's beautiful, including that person. It doesn't cut it. It would be a lie. For most people. But when we go the other way, and we go to that person, and we see their true essence, with the help of the Holy Spirit, and you see through the appearance of their behavior, You see what's actually motivating them? Behind the surface that they should be in jail for or whatever, was beneath that. When you see what's motivating them, you have the same motivation. When you join there, now you can forgive them, honestly. And it is a wonderful feeling of love. The healing is there. The rebirth is there for you and for them. Okay, let's dig in.
One sure. thing about that, I have actually here and there attempted to look beyond the surface of the people in general whom I've seen.
Yes.
In my little world, and you know, and I just ignoring the appearances and going deep and saying they're all spirit, just like me, and we're all one, the Son of God. And by golly, I've had an experience of joy from that during the day.
Yeah.
Because it also makes forgiving really easy. Judgment impossible. And I just wanted to bring that out because when you don't have that, carrying that thing on your shoulders, the thing of judgment all the time, the necessity of it to support your ego, then you feel a lot freer inside you.
You want to say more about why or how that makes forgiving easy when you see them as spirit?
Because we're all the same, and eventually realize that if we're all spirit, our projections are automatically forgiven.
The projections, the dreams, the false part, the false manifestation in the world are seen as false.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't need to be fixed.
Yeah.
They don't need to be changed.
Actually, they're not even seen anymore.
They're not there. They're
not even seen anymore.
Right.
Key. That projection.
So I get the reels when I do that.
Wonderful. That's the work, John.
It's been good. I mean, here and there, I feel real joy, and then I go back to my old life. Right?
Yes.
But there is an unaccountable feeling of joy, you know, here and there. It's just like, well, wait a minute, this is all, you know, illusion,
right?
And we're all spirit.
Yes.
And,
how do you know it's not just you doing talk and just talking yourself into something, fancy, something woo woo, some spiritual?
Because it hangs together with forgiveness, what I know about it, and not. Passing judgment on others, it makes it unnecessary, and it backs up everything else I'm reading from the Course.
Yeah. Not to mention the joy feeling.
And the feeling, of course.
It's a little different than the drugs, or a little different than a good bite of chocolate.
It's like authentic feeling of happiness. For no good goddamn reason.
It's a quality of happiness.
It's like, you know?
What we're describing is a holy instant. Because of John's work, he's been able to see the ass-holding one he's talking about, whoever that person is, differently in his life. Not what they did, how much it could harm, and that should be corrected, and forget all that. He wanted his heart to be light. So he said, all right, what's the miracle? The miracle is, this guy isn't what he appears to be.
Right.
Neither am I.
So I'm automatically sloughing off a lot of negativity.
Yeah.
You know, when that happens, the joy automatically happens.
Because he looked beyond the negativity. He could have to deal with it tomorrow. He will. Who knows what he'll do. But for a moment, he looked past the appearances. My favorite spiritual word.
Something in me knows it's right.
Something in you is saying, look.
Mm-hmm.
Right through it.
Yeah, it's saying, there you are.
Not away from it.
Backing me up in there.
Right? Because he could have ran to the beach and meditated and, you know, and attracted himself, but it wouldn't have brought the joy we're talking about. When he faced the problem and he saw through the negativity to a spirit in the same place, beyond appearances.
And beyond appearances.
That was the miracle. There was a shift in perception about what his eyes were seeing. Then he followed it up with a release of his judgments on that person, which are lined up in the list. He said, well, that list doesn't apply right now because I'm seeing the spirit there.
Yeah,
so it's easy.
Yeah.
He said easy.
It makes it unnecessary. Anything, any negative appearances become ridiculous, unnecessary, illusory.
Kim says in that moment you don't even see them. The list is empty in that moment as you look at their spirit. And then, from that easy breath, comes what we call the holy instant, which is the joy you were describing.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
Taste of it, yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't come from even the best dark chocolate.
So, would you continue that and bring it back to fear? So if the list is empty,
yep.
Then there's no reason to have fear, is there?
Correct.
Now that's what I'm looking for to happen to me about my neighbor.
And then, not only you're not feeling fear, joy! Alights mm-hmm. on you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In the same situation, it's the opposite of fear occurs because it's such a relief that there's nothing to fear.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's this little inkling inside that joy that there's something to embrace. The exact opposite of what the ego was having you do. Ego would say run. Judge, damn, and run. But in this moment, it's more like
or justify your anger or any other fear.
You're right. Fight some more, what have you. But in this moment, there's a disarmament that occurs. And it says, accept, forgive, understand, embrace, love. But that would be a spiritual awakening, wouldn't it? You would need a miracle, and you need to be reborn in that moment. And compared to your competing and angry ego, you are reborn if you're willing to see the spirit behind somebody who ostensibly has hurt you. But that's what we do. It's the only way out of this world. The world will continue to justify your anger. That's what it was built for. That's what you built it for. Yeah. And it will just continue. Until it doesn't. And that's what we call the real world. Thank you, John. It's beautiful. Page 436 in the text.
Holy moly, you've turned three more pages since I was last here.
Three months ago. He doesn't look that comfortable.
Would you like another pillow, Bert? We got pillows to spare.
Thanks.
Sherry.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, that's better.
Don't thank her.
436.
And Alicia, was it?
Alicia.
Alicia. Mm-hmm. So the book has several books sewn into one. So you have to go about 600 pages toward the front. There's 2 436s. We're going to the first one.
Oh,
yeah. You guys smell smoke?
Yeah.
Like a weird barbecue thing or something.
I smell something.
Yeah. Yeah, real house barbecue maybe. Yeah.
We wouldn't have a fireplace tonight.
There's a forest fire east of here.
Is there one burning?
Yeah, you can see. Yes.
All right, well, that makes more sense. That's nothing on Highway 17, too. Okay. David, are you ready? Paragraph 2. And we may as well restart so many fresh people here. The Temple of the Holy Spirit. Paragraph 1.
Oh, paragraph 1?
Yeah.
Okay. The meaning of this Son of God lies solely in his relationship with his Creator. It is where elsewhere it would rest on contingency, but there is nothing else.
Yeah, and what we're talking about is you are an extension of your Creator. You're an extension of the truth. God in this book is just the truth. You're an extension of the truth. If something else created you, if you were reporting back, referencing something other than the truth to be your source, it would be a chaotic variable, and you would never know. And it would have no meaning.
Chaotic variable, I like that.
So the only true
band name is the Chaotic Burial.
Ooh, that's a good bit. I like it. Okay, let's continue.
and this is holy, loving, and forever. Yet has the Son of God invented an unholy relationship between him and his Father? His real relationship is one of perfect union and unbroken continuity. The one he made is partial, self-centered, broken into fragments, and full of fear. The one created by his Father is holy, self-encompassing, and self-extending. The one is made, the one he made is holy, self-destructive, and self-limiting.
Pam?
Nothing can show the contrast between, I'm sorry, nothing can show the contrast better than the experience of both a holy and an unholy relationship. The first is based on love and rests on its serene and undisturbed. The body does not intrude upon it. Any relationship in which the body enters is based not on love, but on idolatry. Love wishes to be known, completely understood, and shared. It has no secrets, nothing that it would keep apart and hide. It walks in sunlight, open-eyed and calm, in smiling welcome, and in sincerity, so simple and so obvious it cannot be misunderstood.
Okay. Punchline, love. Versus a special relationship of competition. And it goes right at the body. Like I say, you'd have to be reborn to understand that the you we're talking about does not live in the body. I'm going to use the body's tools to wake it up, even here. Look at, guys, at page 15. Hold your finger here. And go to all the way to the front to page 15. Here's just a section where it gets a little graphic. Mm. I think the word sex was edited out. And let's read a few paragraphs of this section. Yeah, we'll read this a little. It's only five paragraphs. It's kind of interesting. So, Sharon, would you read for us?
Sure. Distortions of miracle differences. Number one. Your distorted perception produces a dense cover over miracle impulses, making it hard for them to reach your own awareness. The confusion of miracle impulses with physical impulses is a major perceptual distortion. Physical impulses are misdirected miracle impulses. All real pleasures come from doing God's will. This is because not doing it, bless you, is a denial of self. Denial of self results in illusion, while correction of error brings release from it. Do not deceive yourself into believing that you can relate in peace to God or your brothers with any external, with anything external.
External.
Child of God, you were created to create the good, the beautiful, and the holy. Do not forget this. The love of God, for a little while, must still be expressed through one body to another, because vision is still so dim. You can use your body best to help you enlarge your perception so you can achieve real vision, of which the physical eye is incapable. Learning to do this is the body's only true usefulness.
Hello.
Fantasy is a distorted form of vision. Fantasies of any kind are distortions because they always involve twisting perception into unreality. Actions that stem from distortions are literally the reactions of those who know not what they do. Fantasy is an attempt to control reality according to false needs. Twist reality in any way and you are perceiving destructively. Fantasies are a means of making false associations and attempting to obtain pleasure from them. But although you can perceive false associations, you can never make them real except to yourself. You believe in what you make. If you offer miracles, you will be equally strong in your belief in them. The strength of your conviction will then sustain the belief of the miracle receiver. Fantasies become totally unnecessary as the holy, satisfying nature of reality becomes apparent to both giver and receiver.
Would you read that sentence again?
John's story.
It's huge. Yes.
What was it? Fantasies?
Yes.
Become totally unnecessary as the holy, satisfying nature of reality becomes apparent to both giver and receiver.
In the Course in Miracles, this fantasy we're talking about is also referred to as dreaming. Dreaming, and you are dreaming up, whether you're sleeping or awaking in your body, you are dreaming. You learn that it's your body's judgments and projections that give everything the meaning for you, everywhere, all day long. And often you learn it wasn't necessary to get so upset about something, or to get so excited about something, too. Fantasies. Please continue.
Fantasies. Reality is lost through usurpation.
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 Yeah, take it out.
Can you say usurpation?
Yeah.
Which produces tyranny. As long as a single slave remains to walk the earth, your release is not complete. Complete restoration of the sonship is the only goal of the miracle-minded.
Oh, I have a question.
Sure.
If the reference to like fantasy means, you know, dreaming, and just all of this is dreaming, the illusion, then is fantasizing and like sleep dreaming, like dreaming within the dream?
Yes.
Like,
layers and layers. Absolutely correct. All of it having all being on the same level, and all fantasies and dreams are not real. They can't be shared, and love is actually blocked from a mind that is doing that. Yeah.
It was helpful for me to kind of see that as a comparison, that like if I'm having a daydream, imagining some fantasy situation playing out in my mind, or I wake up from a dream, from sleeping, and it seems so real, but it's obviously not, to equate that to this.
Yes.
You know, it's like, oh, like, that's really what we're talking about here?
Yeah. And the older you get, the more you know it's true. The more you witness your life and how much of it you made up, you know what I'm saying is true. Even the things that happened today, you were sifting through them with your judging mind based on your past experience and making them meaningful to you based on the past. Skip right over what was actually present for you to see if you were reborn. No, you were using your old life, being a body, a suffering body, and you lived the same life yesterday, 2 days ago, today, just with a little different input.
Like, how is it like I had a dream the other night where somebody did something really rude and mean to me, and I was very angry at them, and then I woke up and I was angry at them thinking about it, and then I just like was like, it was just a dream, like it didn't really happen.
Yes.
You don't have to think about this anymore.
Yes.
Or be angry at this person.
Yes.
Because it didn't really happen.
Yes.
And I'm like, I should take that same sequence of consoling myself and the world. Yes,
it's very important what you said, and I also have John look at too. It's not good enough to say oh, this is, I just want to be happy now. But to say that didn't happen, because your body's telling you it did. The cortisol is in there, and yes, that's a big stress hormone. It always comes, but your endocrine system shot up, and your body feels something. So, the miracle is to shift your perception about that feeling. That, you know what that means, didn't really happen. That's the reset. So yes, in your dreams, you have these just absolutely false ideas, or you've had real ideas that still seem to be real, but you want to wake up in this world. You must. That didn't really happen. It's easy in your dream, right? Because you're on your pillow and you say, wait a minute, obviously that didn't happen. But it's still exactly the same exercise, using the exact same part of your mind to handle physical sensations even. It's the exact same exercise.
Interesting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Same patterns. Mm-hmm. Which is also why I say, if you had something happen in your past that you regret, that's great exercise for Course in Miracles. Don't wait for something else to happen.
What do you got?
It's going to pile up. Hey, you got inventory. Take some thought you had in your mind about something terrible you said or did or happened to you, and some unsavory thing that... take that with you and say, Holy Spirit, how do I look at this differently? And if that didn't really happen, didn't happen to who? To what? Holy Spirit, show me how to shift my perception around that situation. It's over. It's excellent meditation. It's a great way to work your lesson. And you will feel a weight that you've been carrying lifted. Maybe you didn't even know what you were carrying. And then the holy instant comes, a little spark of joy. That's how you know. You breathe easy and go, oh. Yes?
Question. So, can you relate bodily, physical ailments in your body to these things that you're talking about of letting go and the situations that you haven't healed or you haven't let go of? Yes. For example, I have severe lower back problems.
Yes.
Where I think that I can't really walk in the morning, but it's rough.
Yes. Absolutely. In fact, your severe lower back problems will be a particular block for you that nobody else has but you.
Right.
So it's really personal.
Yeah.
He's got this arm thing going on. I think it's going to heal. Your back? I don't know. Right? That's what your ego is going to say to you. You wish you had his.
I've been telling myself lately, I don't know. It's going to work. Yeah,
really? All right. Yeah. So this is for you. And all of us have something. But this is for you. A particular invitation from the world, from the Holy, what we call the Holy Spirit, is a part of your mind that's connected to the truth. It's like the one connected to heaven or God or your source that actually knows what's going on. You don't. You, the thing in the mirror, don't actually know what's going on. However, according to our study here, there's one mind. Appears like many, but it's only one mind. And that mind is all connected, and that's connected to, as it says here back, what we read in sentence one, the Creator. So our work is to look past the pain and the body that's feeling the pain, even just for an instant. And I'll tell you, the worse your pain is, the more amazing and life-changing this instant I'm talking about is. Yes?
Andrew, so recently I've been in the healing of the dream.
Yes.
Ah. And this part, just, I've read this, I've got it triple highlighted, but it never hit me until I read it this a couple of days ago. And it says, no one asleep and dreaming in the world remembers his attack upon himself. No one believes there really was a time when he knew nothing of a body and could never have conceived this world as real. He would have seen at once that these ideas are one illusion too ridiculous for anything but to be laughed away, and how serious they now appear to be. And it just got me thinking about I'm not saying this because I believe we're all separate. I'm just saying in my mind.
Yes.
And I do believe we're all one mind, one entity.
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind, somewhere, is that point of remembering when none of this was even anything, and I was just love. I was just that one power of love. And then then I was thinking, was it last night? I was kind of meditating on this desire of mine, thinking, you know, that I tend to play, well, if I have this, I'm going to have to maybe give up this. And you know how we mess around with stuff in our mind. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, if I have this desire, and I am an extension of God, and this desire could only enrich my life in everything about love and the power of love, I can only see enrichment, and then that must be coming from God, and that I can claim that is already happening, because it is all one mind. Does that make sense at all? But
yes.
I just kind of was really getting in touch with the illusion of what we are and all where we, how we make everything in this world, but really we can go back to when there was nothing, we were everything, and none of this existed, and there, yeah.
Yes, and so that's done by going still for an instant. And the contrast of it still appearing to go on, and the feeling of it not—the feeling of perfect
peace—you get outside of it.
Yeah.
You step outside.
Look at, and right. You're looking down at it or back at it or in on, however you want to look at that. That's right. Correct. You step out of it for just a moment, which I'm saying with Alicia, and her pain. It's there is a moment in your meditation when you were in pain and you step outside of the pain for a moment. Maybe you've done this. Even while the body is spasming, I've done this. Mm-hmm. Even when the body is spasming and the pain is still there, but I'm not recognizing it, I'm feeling it. I've stepped out of it, showing the unreality of it. I'm like another dimension, which is exactly what it is.
It's hard to stay out of it, because I've been in pain, in chronic pain for a long time. So it is hard to stay out of it, but you can have those moments of escape from it.
Yes, it's just a moment of escape that you'll never forget.
Yeah. And there's physical pain, and there's emotional pain, and it's all the same. And we still can have those moments of respite from it by just knowing that we are not part of it.
Yes.
Ultimately, we're not part of it.
Yes.
When we are of it, we're back into our bodies again.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And it's essential that everybody take this journey somewhere in your life. You won't have a reason to leave your life and not to jump back in another body if you don't. You are an addict as you sleep. You're an addict that being individual in a body with a heart and lungs and friends and family and breath and, you know, a place to live and you mean all the world is so designed. It's not evil. You did it on purpose. But you've lost yourself. There's lots of little piece of light in it, making it your whole identity. That's all we're doing here is stepping back a bit, remembering this full joy, and doing just for a moment a reconciliation of perfect peace and that pain. That divorce. That death. That hopelessness, that loss, that great sunset you may never see again, compared to perfect peace. Turn to page. We'll come back here. Actually, we won't come back here. I wanted to, we're moving ahead. Turn to page 383. So we read about what Kim is talking about a little more than what John's talking about. Is it 381? There's such a good section there, too. Let's go to, oh, so many great quotes. All right. Go to 381, paragraph 4. This is just a comment on this holy instant thing.
Who's up to read? Zoe?
Zoe.
You want me to
read? Would you like to read for us? Read for us, paragraph 4 on 381.
The holy instant does not come from your little willingness alone. It is always the result of your small willingness combined with the unlimited power of God's will. You have been wrong in thinking that it is needful to prepare yourself for Him. It is impossible to make arrogant preparations for holiness and not be possible, and not believe that it is up to you to establish the conditions for peace. God has established them. They do not wait upon your willingness for what they are. Your willingness is needed only to make it possible to teach you what they are. If you maintain you are worthy of learning this, you are interfering with the lesson by believing that you must make the learner different.
Remember, Kim was saying, she said back, right? Her words were, I could go back to the time where everything was one. If that's true, it's still there.
It's still, right. It is still here. And we can still get it. I didn't, that's what I meant. I meant to say that. But yeah, you can still get it here.
Yeah. 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 The core is, it's still true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So please continue.
You did not make the learner, nor can you make him different. Would you first make a miracle yourself, and then expect one to be made for you?
Yes. Okay. Now, flip to page 387, paragraph 11. And Julie, would you reinforce that paragraph?
387.
Everyone has experienced what he would call a sense of being transported beyond himself. This feeling of liberation far exceeds the dream of freedom sometimes hoped for in special relationships. It is a sense of actual escape from limitations. If you will consider what this transportation really is, you will realize that it is a sudden unawareness of the body.
Ha! Imagine that, Alicia. A sudden unawareness of the body. Whoa. Please continue.
And a joining of yourself and something else, in which your mind enlarges to encompass it. It becomes a part of you as you unite with it, and both become whole as neither is perceived as separate. What really happens is that you have given up the illusion of a limited awareness and lost your fear of union. The love that instantly replaces it extends to what has freed you and unites with it. And while this lasts, you are not uncertain of your identity and would not limit it. You have escaped from fear to peace, asking no questions of reality, but merely accepting it. You have accepted this instead of the body and have let yourself be one with something beyond it simply by not letting your mind be limited by it.
Sentence 9, and while this lasts, which may only be an instant, it's so an amazing instant compared to the rest of your suffering. It's like, wow, what was that? While this lasts, you're not uncertain of your capital I identity, your true identity. Oh my God, is that welcomed? That's an easy breath you'll take. That's the holy instant instead of the unholy instant of pain, fear, worthlessness, suffering of any type. You have escaped from fear to peace, asking no questions of reality, but merely accepting reality. You've accepted this instead of the body, and have let yourself be one with something beyond the body. Now we're talking spiritual. Simply by not letting your mind be limited by the body. That's being reborn.
And the more times that you experience that, the easier and more expected it becomes. And it always brings me back to those things that you brought in that one night, those things where you have to look at them and then you see the actual image in it.
Yes.
That's what it's like. It's like looking at our lives until we can actually see the image behind all the...
Yes.
Stuff.
You guys ever seen those pictures where you have to change your focus and you see this? It looks like a smattering of ink. Mm-hmm. But you change your focus and up comes a 3D picture right off the page.
They have a book right in the right out here.
Yep. And you're actually relaxing, not trying. If you try, you'll never get it. If you relax, your eyes diverge. When you're staring at the page, your eyes converge to something 18 inches from you. The trick to seeing the images is let your eyes diverge as if you're seeing far away. Relax the muscles, and boom, there's the image. Just as Kim says. Turn to page 360, paragraph 11. Kenny, you up for that?
We passed.
Okay.
The holy instant is a miniature of heaven, sent you from heaven. It is a picture, too, set in a frame. Yet if you accept this gift, you will not see the frame at all, because the gift can only be accepted through your willingness to focus all your attention on the picture. The holy instant is a miniature of eternity. It is a picture of timelessness, sit in a frame of time. If you focus on the picture, you will realize that it was only the frame that made you think it was a picture. Without the frame, the picture is seen as what it represents. For as the whole thought system of the ego lies in its gifts, so the whole of heaven lies in this instant, borrowed from eternity and set in time for you.
You would need a miracle to shift your attention off of the frame of the world or your relationship. But when you do, and you see the content, when you see the energy, you see the essence of that spiritual, that person, that brother, without all their appearances, whoa, what is that? The lightness of being in a joining, a little joining happens, a little sharing happens, a spiritual awareness happens. And this is the way out of the world. It's a miracle, obviously. It's a shift in perception. It's not something you would do without actually stepping aside from your ego for a moment. But this is how we undo our addiction to the world. For sure. And, as Kim says, the more you do this, the more you get comfortable with it, the quicker it comes. And the dawning arrives. You can't know of what we call heaven. You can't know of God. You can't know of true love with a capital L. It could be handed right to you, and you would not know it because you could not understand it.
Or you might say you lack vision.
Because you would have your eyes closed. Your spiritual eye is closed. You would not have the vision to be able to see true love, true joy, true peace, or understanding.
Because the other, you believe too strongly in the other.
Yes. You rely on the other.
So you can't trust anything else.
You actually fear. You think fear is better to be afraid of it than to love it. So I'm going to keep fearing it because I feel safer with fear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta be like a little bird jumping out of the nest for the first time.
Yeah. Yes. You do. Wondering. I don't know what these appendages are. They don't seem to be good for anything. They can't help me eat anything. Until you fall out of the nest. A little fear. It's a little fearful. Because the ground's coming fast. Air is flying. It looks like it's all over. But in your panic, you stick everything out, including these wings. And it changes. Because what you've already been given in your creation, waiting for you to use, you now use. And as it was designed, as it was created and designed, it will lift you to where you belong. But if you stay small and reserved into selfishness, that means separation, right? And in the nest, waiting for things to come to you of the world, that dream will come true. And you will continue to suffer in a body because that's the dream you're having. But you were given a way to fly through this dream. And now, things like pain, troubles, nightmares even, past events, sicknesses, these are now all invitations to the truth. Before, they're invitations to hell. But with your Holy Spirit in tow, you can translate those as a step in your awakening. Yes! Now nothing's wasted. It's really good news. You need a little guidance, yes.
I recently did a ropes course, which I had never done before, and you like hook up on these harnesses and you go way 50 feet up in the sky and cross these like rope bridges and various things, and they were all, you know, kind of scary, but all of them, there was something to hold on to, you know, to make your way across. And then and there was also like some zip lines, but you could hold on to the thing and imagine that if it didn't work, you at least were holding on to something. And then the very last feature to get off the crazy thing is you like hook up to this thing and you're on this like platform 50 feet above the ground and you're just supposed to like jump off, and this thing that you're hooked up to is supposed to slowly lower you down. But when you feel it, there's no tension. Mm-hmm. None whatsoever. And there's nothing to hold on to. You're just supposed to go. And I said to the woman, oh, it's broken. It's broken. There's no tension. And she says, she said, no, it only kicks in once it feels your full body weight.
Yes.
And I said, no, I don't think so. You know, how else do I get off this 50-foot platform? And she's like, this is the way off the thing. You know, you just have to believe me. I'm like, what happens if I don't believe you? You know? So anyway, some other way. I've stood up there.
You know what she's talking about? Did everybody hear what she's talking about?
Yeah.
It's this little drum. It's a rappelling brake. And when you jump on it, the centrifugal force inside the drum presses against the drum and slows you down. But until it's going fast enough to turn on the centrifugal brake, it will not have any resistance.
Yeah.
Please continue.
Exactly. So
you yank on the rope. It's like, it's broken. If it was broken, that's what it'd be like. If it really was stuck, it would be just like that.
So ultimately, I stood up there for like 20 minutes and until someone came up behind me who was also doing the thing, and I said, well, they can go, you know. And then once that person went, I was able to...
And they got on it,
and they just got on it, right?
Yeah.
They clipped it up and they jumped.
Yeah, yeah.
And you saw them float to the
ground. Saw them float slowly, and then I was, okay, now I can do it. But the point is all the other features, even though I was 50 feet up and all the stuff, I could hold on to something.
Yes.
So I had this idea in my head that if something went wrong, at least my own personal strength or something might save.
You were so connected to something solid.
Yeah, and it just made me think about that. The bird out of the nest, like, you know, it's terrifying to just, like, go when there's no resistance, there's no nothing, you know, to hold on to, and to just go for it. So.
That is a moment of faith. You had a demonstration, so you've got a belief now that it's going to work, and then after 20 minutes, you eventually did do it. But only after somebody gave you this gift of a belief, and you watched somebody jump to their death. Because you were, for 19 minutes, you were, that's dying. It's broken, you don't know it's broken, you want me to figure out if it's broken? Oh, no. You really, yeah, for sure. I mean, really, you're not insane. Not insane at all. Perfectly reasonable. Jesus knows this about everybody who's so addicted to a body that we're afraid to let go. He knows this of everybody. That's why there's the Course in Miracles and 1,000 other courses to help you try your spiritual power, your spiritual awakening on your practical problems. In this case, you needed an angel to come along and jump on that thing ahead of you.
Yeah, I needed to see it work.
It's perfectly reasonable. That's perfectly reasonable. And so also is it with the Course in Miracles. Ooh. Is that we would take baby steps.
Try it on something that's not that important. Something that, you know, it's a little aggravation you have somewhere. And just try forgetting that first. Try getting the Holy Spirit's counsel on some little thing first and see if it works. Before you jump on it, but your life on some very important conversation of your life or with your boss or your loved one, before you really jump on something really important, try it. You'll like it. Kim says, yeah, you'll like it a lot. You start to get used to it, then you can up the ante a bit. John says, where else can I use this? What took me so long? Why? To get out of pain, the self-imposed pain. I love that example.
I had a very similar experience in a spiritual mastery class that I took a few years ago, and we were on the rope thing, and there was this plank bridge you had to walk across, and you had the ropes to hang on to, but if you looked at, and because the planks had space in between them, so you had to watch where you were stepping, or else you step down. So if you're looking down, the bridge would do this, and nothing would, it wouldn't, you're, it's like being on an ocean trying to walk across it. And the purpose of the exercise for the whole day was focus on your end goal, focus and go, focus and goal, don't hesitate, just focus and goal. And so I'm on this, and I can't hardly walk because the thing is going like this, and the leader of it down below just yelled up, and I don't even know if he was talking to me, but he just said, focus and go. And I looked up, and I looked at the end of the bridge, and I didn't look at anything else, and I just started walking, and the thing just smoothed out, and I walked right across it. And it's like that in our spiritual life. If we focus on this goal of knowing and understanding and knowledge and just little steps of trust, one right after the other. But don't look at what we're going here right now, because this is too, it draws all of our attention away from that goal.
Yes.
And it's not important and it's not real. And if we know that and we just stay focused on the steady course, no matter what's going on right here,
yes,
that we will get to the other side, and the path will smooth its way out for
yes.
us.
Yes. To focus on the problem makes the problem real.
Mm-hmm.
To focus on the individual steps makes the problem real. And it makes the fear return, because it's only practical to think, well, what if I step in between? That's only practical. We are asked to raise our sight up. Raise up. Remember that passage we read? I can't remember where it was, but we talked just about this topic where you raise your sight up to the bigger picture of the horizon. Yeah. The details will always be in the hands of the ego. But the beyond is in the realm of the Holy Spirit. The bigger picture. Yeah, yeah.
But there are places in the book where you have to look at the details.
Yes. Uh-huh. Especially the first 15 lessons.
Well, I'm on lesson 226 or something like that. And in the book, I'm reading chapter 18, 19. Mm-hmm. And it has a list of the ways that we forgive that is not a holy way.
Yeah.
And it says, look at those ways that you are doing that rather than the holy way.
Yeah.
And so, I'm not really sure. I've done that. I found out there's the list that they have, and some dealings that I have with my daughter, I was using three of them.
Mm-hmm.
I was using the wrong way, and the wrong way was from I'm better than you are, you need help, I'm a martyr, look at me, etc. There was a number of ways.
Yeah.
And it's hard to look at the bigger picture when you're looking at the smaller picture.
This is why A Course in Miracles' first 200 lessons are an undoing. And the whole text is to give you some encouragement that wherever this book came from, it's wise. So that when you get to those workbook lessons and ask you to do crazy things, you think, well, I want the wisdom that I spent 679 pages reading and feeling. I want that in my life. So well, it's an undoing of your old ways.
But it says you have to know what the old ways are in order to undo them.
Yes, indeed. You have to look right at it.
Which is hard.
You have to look right at it.
Right.
You look right at it with a confidence and with an appeal to the beyond.
And that's about the time I also had my conversation with the Holy Spirit.
I think it becomes hard only when you are trying to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, and the hardest part is to say, is to remember I need do nothing, mm-hmm. and let Holy Spirit change it for me.
Yep.
That's the hardest part.
And the
we're fixers and we're creators, and we tend to want to understand it. I've given up trying to understand myself. It got me here, but you know, just try to just. If it takes laying on the couch in a fetal position for 3 days, it takes that.
Yeah.
And if it takes getting up and going for a walk, that's what it takes. But it's whatever to not try to fix it myself.
Yeah. Because you're the reason it needs to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You, what you think you are, is the reason you need the Holy Spirit. You need A Course in Miracles. You need to be reborn. You need to let your past go. You can't do it yourself. It's very good.
I'm not really trying to do it myself. I just got through Kim reading about I know nothing and there's nothing I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that, but it still takes a while for me to sit down and say, okay, what was my part?
Remember, now it takes a while, and you should take the while.
That's what I'm doing.
In the beginning, and you are doing that.
Yeah.
And you're early in A Course in Miracles. So you must be practical and specific, and that's why those first workbook lessons, day after day, will have you be very slowly go after that button, that doorknob, that stain in the carpet, that pencil, very, very specifically. You should absolutely do that. Not because
the repair will be made by looking at a stain in the carpet and forgiving it. No. However, you will experience the power of your mind to translate what you see within those lessons workbooks. On that stain which you've lived with for a long time, you're not changing the whole carpet for one stain. I just bought the carpet. It's got the stain in it. He did it. So I love him, so I'm not going to make him pay for it. He didn't mean to. But I'm living with this now, every day. The stain in the carpet. That would be a great one for a miracle. Lesson number two.
Rather than take on what happened between my daughter and myself.
Oh, yes. Because that's so loaded. Or climate change, or anything other bigger than that stain. But you find the power of your mind when you actually take, I have given everything I see all the meaning that it has for me, and you look at that stain. And you feel badly about the stain, or frustrated about the stain.
So if I were going to use that lesson with my daughter,
yes,
incident,
yes,
I do get that everything that happened was from me.
Yes.
But I haven't gotten to a place yet where I know what to do with it.
And the reason why is because with the stain, the miracle required is very limited. With you and your daughter, the miracle required is existential. That's why. It's the same job, and it's the same level. And by the time you get to where you're going, and several of us in this room have been there and had some pretty darn difficult things in our lives with the exact same exercise and found huge relief over something so serious it would be scary to face alone. But that's why we take baby steps, and those first lessons are so important. They're so genius. But it's as existential when we go to things like mother and child. Like, turn to 388.
Well, I think I'm beginning to understand why the Holy Spirit just recently told me I need to go back and do the first lessons over again.
Good. Good. And you know those lessons had meat because you spent days and days on them when you were going through them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had meat for you.
But they had meat, but I didn't know how to apply them.
Sure. And I love that you do it, go past it, and come back around to them. Don't spend a whole week or 2 weeks on one lesson. Spend 2 or 3 days, fine. If it's your first time in the workbook, go all the way through the workbook, even though you don't understand what it's saying. It really does give you a gestalt, a sense of how much love is surrounding what you're doing. Then spend a few days on each one the second time. And I'm spending now, that's a week, 2 weeks on one lesson.
Well, the course says you may not understand the lessons.
Well,
you may not like the lessons. You might think they don't apply to you. But just do the lessons. Just do the lessons.
Yes.
It's as simple as that. Do the lessons.
Yes.
Don't judge anything. Just do the lessons. Do what's required. Do what's asked. And that's all that this person asks of you.
And let their effects on you be the proof that they work. Yeah.
I remember reading that.
Look at 388. Paragraphs 1 and 2.
358?
But
388.
Alright.
Alicia, you're up.
In the text.
Sure. You still have too much faith in the body as a source of strength. What plans do you make that do not involve its comfort or protection or enjoyment in some way?
Yeah, I'm busted!
Oh, shit.
This makes the body an end and not a means in your interpretation. And this always means you still find sin attractive.
What's sin in A Course in Miracles?
Separation.
It's separation. Yeah.
No one accepts atonement for himself who will accept sin as his goal. You have thus not met your one responsibility. Atonement is not welcomed by those who prefer pain and destruction.
Atonement is that you would accept the awakening as valuable to you. Oneness as actually something worthwhile. In your ego state of mind, atonement would be death, and you won't ever take it.
You won't ever accept atonement for yourself if you're trusting that fear is really your best friend. And has, if you owe fear to your successes in your life, that's why you're happy and successful as much as you are today, is because of fear. If that's what you're holding on to, atonement is the other direction. And so you'll continue to have fear in your life, which is fine. Do as much as you want. But eventually get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And lonely. And you'll say, there must be a better way. I want love. Show me some spirit. Show me some light. Okay, next paragraph.
There is one thing that you have never done. You have not utterly forgotten the body. It has perhaps faded at times from your sight. But it has not yet completely disappeared. You are not asked to let this happen for more than an instant. Yet it is in this instant that the miracle of atonement happens. Afterwards, you will see the body again, but never quite the same. And every instant that you spend without awareness of it gives you a different view of it when you return.
This is your homework assignment. Because your body will continue to show you that pain. Until somehow you step aside from it and say, well, there's something else here hosting me than my body. Read the next first sentence of the next paragraph.
At no single instant does the body exist at all. It is always remembered or anticipated, but never experienced just now. Only its past and future make it seem real.
Stop there. That's pretty heavy duty. A couple sentences. It's really great to meditate on that. At no single instance does the body exist at all. Now, all right, you know, you're almost 400 pages into this book. And by now, you've got some, if you've been reading along, you get some confidence of who wrote this, where did this come from? And so when it says, at no single instance does your body even exist at all, you're like, what? Tell me more. When that happens, I want you to stop reading and meditate, just even for a minute. Just meditate on it. Take a breath. Say, what does it mean? At no single instant does the body even exist at all. And it goes on to explain. But your practical mind will say, well, of course you... The body's kind of anticipated, or it's remembered. It doesn't actually exist in the now. It doesn't have the ability to exist in the now. There actually is no frame of reference where you can experience your body right now, even with that pain. That would be a huge awakening for you.
So is that a function of projection?
Yes.
Where you, because of projection, because you're projecting something, what you're projecting will never be remembered or anticipated as it is projected.
Yes.
It can't be.
Lesson number, what, 6? I see nothing as it is now. Remember that lesson?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As you stare at a teacup. You think this is for drinking, don't you? Well, yeah, of course. Just finished telling you, your mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. And so it blocks you from seeing something. Just now. Just with a baby's eyes. Beginner's mind. How innocent is that? That's where love is, by the way. It doesn't have a past or a future. It's present embrace right now. It's the only way to be honest. It's a whole different way of having your mind work. Oh my God, it's so much easier. Oh, whoa, what a relief.
I had that experience with my daughter the other day.
Ah.
And we've gone through a lot of stuff in the community beginning. But we weren't talking for a while, and all of a sudden, I just decided that I was going to clear everything that had happened until in that moment. And I just deleted everything in my mind, and I'm just going to, if she wants to talk to me, and it just happened. And it was so weird and awesome. And
yes, yes. And, you know, as we've talked about in this room many times, when you're willing to do that, just get really simple and be present, you can't see it, but your face changed.
Mm-hmm.
You held your shoulders differently.
when you've got a whole agenda to fix something in your daughter's life, your shoulders come up a little bit or whatever. You look different, feel different to her. But when you're just like super present, forehead goes, your shoulders, everything changes. You've been there. Everything changes, and she gets it.
Well, Dad, I let go of everything that had happened previously and anything that we had thought about or anything that had happened in the past. I raised her as a single parent. Her dad wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know, like, just a lot of things happened. And she yelled out all these things that I didn't do as a parent. And
yeah.
I didn't hold on to that in that moment.
In that
moment,
very nice.
I was like,
yeah. This is yeah.
It felt so good.
Beautiful. That feeling of it feeling so good is what we call a holy instant in the book. You had one. You had one. People have them all the time, don't recognize it. You can meditate on that and hold it and recognize that that's truth. That instance was truth between you and your daughter. That was love.
Yeah, I felt like it.
That's the truth. All the other trying is not truth. Mm. All the other efforting in the relationship is not true. But that easy, simple moment was. It's the kind of thing you can remember for a lifetime. It's funny. A whole lifetime of other minutes, and that's the one that counts.
Yeah. Yeah. We want more of those.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Good.
Excellent.
Okay. It's existential to be able to deal with the bigger issues. You can, and it's just as simple as dealing with a broken shoelace. Miracle principle number one on page 7. It says, oh yeah, miracle principle one will be on 3. Yes. Thank you. Luann, look at you.
You're welcome.
One thing is in the book. There's no order of difficulty in miracles. They're all expressions of love. Same. Yeah. But our dream has us so wrapped up in our small I identity as mothers or brothers or sons or whatever you think you're responsible for. The way A Course sets it up is to have you work with little changes of mind to help you recognize the power of your mind. And then it'll have you roll up to the bigger ones. But you'll do it with the confidence John was talking about. It's like, wow, I can do this. Yeah. No, it's really good news. I love how the book just carries you through. We don't have to switch books or switch teachers or go out and find some other way once you get your first success. No, the exact same book will continue to carry you tomorrow.
Like a craving after a while.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, this is really rich. This is spiritual richness here. Paragraph 2 on 388, there's one thing that you've never done. You've not utterly forgotten the body. He's just hinting to you the kind of work we're going to do in the workbook. Mm-hmm. You have to be reborn with your identity because you think what you see in the mirror is you. That's what you feed, you take care of, and what gets rewarded, what gets punished. But that's what we call this a spiritual meeting. Because you eventually get some confidence that there is something beyond your body and you can step into it any time. And this section says you actually get there by doing nothing. But he knows he couldn't put that on page 1. No, you intellectuals, you smart people, you. Helen and Bill, PhDs, if not doubles. You gotta give them something more to chew on. It's only page of 50 principles and 1,000 pages so that you can build your faith in a very, very simple act. Yes.
But so, this line, it definitely struck me. Like, what plans do you make that do not involve the body's comfort or protection or enjoyment in some way?
Yes.
Because, you know, I want to be comfortable, I want to sleep good, I want to have a nice meal, I want to wash my face, and like...
Thank you, come anytime.
Is that your bottle?
Is that your bottle?
Oh, yes. I need to go.
And so are we like...
Honestly, you want to be comfortable. Honestly, you want to sleep well, yes?
Yeah. So are we supposed to try to, like, not seek those comforts of the body?
Well, now the newbie is gone, we can talk straight, huh? Because it's a little scary what we're going to say here. You really have to get on the bridge to cross the chasm. You really can't do it looking at the bridge. You can't do it watching that girl jump on that ascender break, the repelling break. You can't watch. You can't really get the experience of trust, being able to tell Kim, I know when you pull on the rope, nothing happens, okay? But I'm telling you, Kim, just clip on and jump. Kim's like, are you kidding? Cecily, I thought you liked me. And the confidence in your eyes would say, do it. And she'd say, okay. She would. But you have to do to get on the bridge of spiritual awakening, not just look at it. You have the bridge in your hands, and you have instructions on how to enter it, get to it, enter it, walk across it. You can even go back and start over if you want. And Luann is being very careful about it, and she should. So she can easily do it with joy and not fear, because that's the opposite of our program. So yes is the answer to your question. Let's have Jesus tell us, just to back me up, on page 660. In the text.
Putting the mouth on.
And it's called Recognizing the Spirit. Paragraph 1. And it's just this harsh but simple, see? It's so damn simple. It's not going to be easy, because you want a good night's sleep. You want to get good food. You want to be appreciated for your work. You want your clothes to fit. You want there to be a washing machine open when you get there. I mean, all of that doesn't change what we're talking about. Because all the things that you're going to do with your body, you will now recognize as flesh. And if there's something that you are, it's not flesh. You are going to need a miracle. You are going to need to be reborn, even if for only an instant. But I'm telling you, as I started the meeting, everybody has to make this journey somehow, somewhere. The courageous moment when you step out of your body.
We have to not think that we have to give up our body to do that.
Yes.
We have to not, because that is your ego saying, you're not going to be able to do this any longer. You're not going to be able to have this joy. You're not going to be able to do this in order for you to have that. But
yes,
that is so opposite.
That's right.
You get that because of this.
Yeah.
And enjoying this and realizing that we are this and we house this and we're grateful for this, and then we get to enjoy a sunset and take a hot bath, and
yes,
we get to do all this stuff with
yes,
this that we live in.
Yes.
But we are more than that, and we are.
And when you glimpse that bigger picture of the beyond, now that body taking a hot tub or eating chocolate can be more enjoyed, because it's less threatened.
Right.
You know, even though it's having a good time.
It's enriched instead of constricted.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It might be fun.
Sometimes.
You will lower the fear, guaranteed. Yeah, sometimes.
As long as I stay, you know, in the right space, it is a lot of fun.
And that becomes now the challenge.
Yes.
Is choosing the right space.
And the more I experience that, the more I am there.
The more. Mm-hmm. And the sooner the better.
And the less I'm afraid to let go.
Yes.
And the more exciting the journey becomes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the less you will hold on to the anger and fear. What?
Less guilt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, less fewer barriers.
More freedom.
Oh my God, guilt is like opening. Get rid of the guilt, like opening the door to go through. You weren't allowed before. You were too responsible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unhook that guilt. The sooner the better. Well, this going to talk about that. Who's up to that?
Me. Luann, read for us paragraph 1.
You see the flesh or recognize the spirit. There is no compromise between the two. If one is real, the other must be false. But what is real denies its opposite. There is no choice in vision but this one. What you decide in this determines all you see and think is real and hold as true.
Well, you have to read that sentence again for emphasis.
What you decide in this determines all you see and think is real and hold as true. On this one choice does all your world depend, for here have you established what you are, as flesh or spirit in your own belief.
As what you are, flesh or spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If you choose flesh, you never will escape the body as your own reality, for you have chosen that you want it so. But choose the spirit, and all heaven bends to touch your eyes and bless your holy sight, that you may see the world of flesh no more, except to heal and comfort and to bless.
And we're at 9 o'clock. Let's take one more minute. And Cecily, would you read for us paragraph 6 on the next page? And all, you know, this is about what you asked about.
Are you invulnerable? Then the world is harmless in your sight. Do you forgive? Then is the world forgiving, for you have forgiven it its trespasses, and so it looks on you with eyes that see as yours. Are you a body? So is all the world perceived as treacherous and out to kill. Are you a spirit, deathless and without the promise of corruption and the stain of sin upon you? So the world is seen as stable, fully worthy of your trust, a happy place to rest in for a while, where nothing need be feared, but only love. Who is unwelcome to the kind in heart, and what could hurt the truly innocent?
This is a shift in perspective of what is living what. That's how radical this awakening is. The world is seen. Yeah, we need to stop here. The world is seen through vision with a shift. So yes, Cecily, that body that would rest will still rest, but there will be an awakened mind behind it. And it will be a gentle awakening that way. But absolutely. That's why we do this here. Let's have a circle. Take a deep breath. Join the circle. So everybody, time and the rest of your life could be measured in time. Time is a trick, a sleight of hand. It's something that you are deeply involved with in what you feel like is your life here in the body. It's time. It's a trick. It's a trick that you can step out of. And indeed you must. And the way you step out of time is you actually do nothing. It's very hard because you're busy. You're a busy doer. You're busy trying to meditate even better. You're busy with your chanting or whatever what you do. You do nothing just for an instant. And in that holy instant, the Holy Spirit will be heard. You will actually step, you'll be reborn by doing nothing. We're all here to encourage you to do that. It seems crazy until you try it. To actually take a moment in your life tonight before you go to bed. Try again tomorrow when you wake up. And actually just go still for a moment.
take a breath in that moment. This is where the easy air is breathed. This is the holy instant. You can have one anytime. And you will be reborn because you will have forgotten your past. Just for a moment. Do it. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen.
Thanks, everybody.
Amen, sister.
That's
pretty good.
Oh, we've done that about 20 minutes.